Step into modern luxury at Langham in Grandview. Your boutique, studio plus suite awaits with a premium kitchen, spa-inspired bathroom, and elevated finishes throughout. Just steps from your door, lounge poolside in a private cabana, unwind in the hydrotherapy spa, perfect your swing with virtual golf simulators, or visit the fitness center for a Peloton ride. Availability at Langham is limited. Reserve your studio plus suite today at livepreferred.com.
Leagues Cup returns to Columbus. Your reigning Leagues Cup champion Columbus Crew are hosting three matches at Lower.com Field. Come out and watch the Crew take on teams from Liga MX, Toluca, Puebla, and León starting July 29th. Grab your tickets now at ColumbusCrew.com and watch the best in North America battle to keep the trophy at home in Columbus. No ties, only wins. Major League Soccer versus Liga MX. Leagues Cup returns to Columbus, Ohio. Be there.
Welcome to SciGuys, the show where we talk about the crazy, weird, and wonderful stories from the science world. I'm Corey, and as always, I'm joined by my co-host, Luke Cutford, and this week's special guest, the fifth SciGuy, Noah Fitz.
Yeah!
This week we're talking about grandiose Greeks and something else, but first we've got a wee YouTube comment.
What does it say?
Dogs.
Yeah.
Dogs.
What?
Plural?
Dogs.
Okay.
More than one.
I've also got a question for you all. Now, if you want to answer this question, you're on YouTube, get down to the comments, you know that. If you're on Spotify, go to the spot where you answer them. And if you're anywhere else, here's what you do. Get a mirror. Look into it. Just keep on staring into it. Realize you'll never look as good as this. And then I don't really care what you do. You don't need to answer the question. Question is, are you a narcissist?
I hope not.
Definitely not.
That's what a narcissist would say, though.
I feel like a narcissist, you definitely are not a narcissist if you don't want to be a... No, that's not true.
Maybe we should actually talk about what narcissists are.
Yeah.
In this episode that we're doing on narcissistic personality disorder. So, do either of you know what NPD is?
Narcissistic personality disorder. Is it a mental disorder? I feel like it's caused by trauma. I don't know how to explain it other than, like, people cannot see outside their own experience.
I would say there's a grandiose sense of self in there.
Are you reading the notes?
No, I just think that that's what it says.
A pattern of grandiosity is in my notes, yes.
Okay.
Need for admiration, lack of empathy, loads of different things. We'll get into it in a bit. But it's a personality disorder. So
yeah.
Mental disorder, personality disorder is what it's sort of classified as. And yeah, I mean, there's a lot to it. But before we get into that, I would like to talk about the etymology of narcissistic personality disorder. Does anyone know?
Narcissus.
Okay. Who's that?
Yeah.
He's either a Greek god or a Roman or something. And he or she or they love themselves.
Yeah. Okay. So I think I'll expand on Noah's answer.
Oh, yeah, please.
The myth of Narcissus is, I believe, about a man who falls in love with his own reflection when he sees it in a mirror. And then he can't stop looking at his own reflection. And I think he dies because he's just staring it into his own eyes and he thinks he's so gorgeous.
Yeah, it's not far off. Basically, he's a very hot young hunter. He's a good looking boy. And then I think he's going to get with Echo, who is some kind of nymph or whatever. And then he's like, nah, actually, I don't want you. Because Echo's whole thing, as you can probably imagine from the name, is like repeating things back to people. But I think using their voice. And he's like, what a beautiful voice you... It's my voice. Such a beautiful voice. And then, classic Greek myth, he gets cursed to fall in love with his own reflection. And so he's kneeling down at a pool of water and sees his own reflection, becomes enamored with it, and just, he stays there. In some interpretations, look, yes, he does die. And I think he becomes a daffodil.
Oh.
That's where daffodils come from.
Plot twist.
I like that.
And that's why daffodils are so pretty. Because they come from the prettiest man who died from... looking at himself. Yeah, it's not a great start to this, I'd say, in terms of like narcissistic personality disorder, naming it after, you know, narcissism, which comes from that story. Do you know what I mean? It's
yeah.
A little bit, it's already got a negative connotation right off the bat.
It's interesting because I know the story. I know that that's what it's based on, but I would naturally, like, if I wasn't thinking about it, I think that narcissism is the same thing as narcissistic personality disorder. as opposed to narcissism being a description of a characterized trait. Ah. And then we've used that to describe a personality disorder as well. So somebody, like, what I mean by that is that somebody being a narcissist might be a mischaracterization of, or a simplification or a stereotype of what somebody with narcissistic personality disorder actually is like. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
No, I get what you mean. Yeah. I think it's similar to the whole sort of depressed thing. You know, someone says, I'm so depressed today. And like, yeah, you probably are feeling a bit low today. You don't have clinical depression. You know what I mean? Mm. It's like a similar sort of vibe. And we were talking about depression last week, obviously, Luke, you know that. And Noah, you've watched the episode that came out last week already, so you're well aware of the conversations that we had.
Yes.
So we move on to the history of NPD. Do you know anything about it?
No, I don't. I'm guessing DSM something.
Well, no. So it was first identified in, well, in Britain. I don't know if it was in Britain, but it was by a British person. Don't know why that's important, but whatever source I found thought it was enough to mention. 1898 is when that happened. But yeah, trust the Brits, probably an Englishman, to come up with NPD, am I right? Narcissists. Oh, wait, hold on.
I'm half Irish.
Yeah, you're the most English here. Narcissist.
I'm half Scottish.
Oh, wait, hold on. I like both of you. That's fine. Good. Oh, there's not even a full English person in this room, even combining you two together.
And that's diversity.
No, so in the 60s and 70s is when it kind of, I would say, gained traction, when kind of theories for what kind of caused it started to come about. Have either of you heard of Heinz Kohut and Otto Kernberg?
I know beans. Heinz beans.
No.
No. No, I don't know.
Heinz is also just a name.
Yes.
Like Heinz Doofenshmirtz.
Yes, Heinz Doofenshmirtz. Very angry, very, very damaged scientist.
Anyway, no. So these two, they had kind of apparently conflicting views on this. Essentially, one of them was saying it's because, you know, parents, when they're raising the kid, they do it wrong. And essentially, they don't give them enough love as a child. Mm. And so the kid kind of grows up being like, ooh, I want more love. I need simply more love. I love myself and everyone should love me because I'm the best. Sorry, I got lost there. No. Basically, it's just parents being unempathetic to their child's sort of needs. Kind of the idea is that it then causes this kind of personality as a result. Basically just kind of like focusing on yourself. It's kind of described as an arrest of development. So, you know, instead of developing into a sort of healthy self-esteem and relationship with oneself and others, it's sort of being stopped at that very self-obsessed point of childhood, as far as I can see.
That's so sad.
Yeah, so that's one theory.
A coping mechanism is loving yourself too much.
This is always the case where you find out that, like, some, like, trait of somebody that's like not necessarily desirable has like a really sad reason. And then you're like, is nothing bad? Is it all just trauma?
At some point you're gonna tell me that economists have all got some tragic backstory.
That's why what you were saying earlier about like narcissistic personality disorder and like narcissism as like a character trait. I feel like if you have NPD and everybody describes you as this like narcissist, and you're maybe just like a little bit, you just traumatized.
Yes. And it's almost like narcissism is like the external description of what could be, and I'm sure we'll find out from Corey in a second, could be internally like a fear, a lack, a need for affirmation, all that kind of stuff. And it's actually a lot sadder than it looks externally.
No, exactly. I think that's the thing. Whenever you read into any of this, people who are, you know, outwardly maybe unpalatable, oftentimes it just comes down to something bad going on for them internally or in their past, because we're all people. People are generally probably kind of on average pretty decent, and it's just bad stuff that makes that not the case.
It's like we talked in the depression episode, we talked about how like depression in men often manifests as anger.
Mm.
And you wouldn't, like, if someone's being angry, you wouldn't necessarily assume, oh, they're actually sad.
You
just think, why is this person being such a dick?
Oh, no, absolutely, right? Yeah, like, and I think that's one of the worst situations to be in, where you're in so much pain and you're so hurt, and all you can do is just push away the people around. Do you know what I mean? Like, and this could, like, you could very much see this through a similar lens. So that was one viewpoint. That was, I believe, Kohut's viewpoint, that it's basically the parents not sort of fostering the proper development of the child, insofar as, and I'm gonna simplify this to hell, essentially children are self-obsessed, narcissistic. They've got an idealized view of everyone else around them and a sort of idealized view of themselves, like, you know, high self-esteem and just believe themselves to be really good and idealize others, right? Like other people can be perfect in their eyes. And the idea is that parents are supposed to be role models and provide the child with sort of like a role model that essentially teaches them, hey, everyone is flawed. Look, even I'm flawed. Mm. The being who controls everything for you gave you life and make sure that you continue to exist. I make mistakes sometimes. You're one of them. But making a mistake doesn't mean that thing is bad. Mm-hmm. See? Stuff like that, but obviously less heavy-handed and more sort of subtle actual parenting. When you don't like give the child the approval that they need, and have them sort of internalize these ideas of like flaws innate to everyone, then apparently that was the idea that then led to narcissism. Again, this was this guy's idea from like 50 years ago. Yeah. Okay. So Kernberg's idea is that it's a more sort of self-defense mechanism wherein, you know, a kid who isn't given the sort of care from their parents that they should get, you know, that results in them sort of growing up well-adjusted and whatnot, will then be like, I'm actually really mad at my parents. They're the worst and I'm not pleased. I feel very angry with, you know, their lack of nice feelings towards me. And so they then sort of focus in on parts of themselves that will sort of signal to others, hey, give me praise, give me positive affirmation, because they didn't receive that in childhood from parents, right?
Is that a later theory?
No, so this is these, same so time. These were both, these are two guys at the same time. I think it was like sort of, I'm pretty sure they were around about the same time in the 60s and 70s, right? So it was these were the two kind of ideas. We'll get into what we think now, but I'm sure you could probably guess. Essentially, yeah. So it's kind of like a defensive, like, I need to project myself as being awesome and the best, and I need to believe that I'm the best because that's the only way that other people will value me, sort of thing.
That's so sad. I know this is just like a theory, but it's just like, hey, everybody, I'm the best and love me, please.
Yeah. And again, I want to be clear, right? Like, I'm sure people will probably take what I'm saying literally. I'm not saying that a child literally sits and thinks, I'm going to become narcissistic. Because, no, I mean, this is all sort of like under the hood sort of thing where you're not like necessarily aware of it. This is just how, you know, your personality kind of develops because of those reactions. Now, again, those are just theories proposed by some guys from like 50, 60 years ago. Don't take that as, you know, the gospel truth as to how NPD develops. But the prevalence, do either of you know anything about how common it is, whether it's more common amongst men or women or any ethnic groups or anything like that?
I was going to say it's probably more common among men, but then I also feel like the kind of behavior that people expect from women, it would be more obvious if a woman had NPD, because women are expected to be more empathetic, so maybe they're diagnosed more.
I mean, that's a very interesting point.
Thanks.
I don't know about men and women overall, to be honest with you. The thing is that it's actually really difficult to get these stats because they're kind of all over the shop. We don't really know. We don't really know sort of the exact numbers. It could range from 0.5% to 5%. In the entire US population. But then if you look in clinical settings, that would then rise to between 1 to 15% of the US population. Of the US population, 1 to 50% of the population based on those clinical settings, right?
Jesus.
Well, yeah, but then that's not, like, that setting is inherently not representative of the population.
Yeah, did they
right?
just test CEOs? Bankers or something.
This is the thing. Like, I feel like there are negative qualities associated with narcissistic personality disorder. Like, there's negative qualities associated with NPD, and it's very easy to point at like a CEO or someone who is just like callous, unempathetic, right, and say narcissist. And I feel like there's a difference. Like, there's a line to be drawn between someone who is like an asshole and someone who's like clinically like unempathetic.
No, I thought I saw a study where like CEOs are diagnosed at higher rates than anybody else.
I mean, that would make sense. Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. I'm not they disagreeing
are assholes,
with you.
But they're also narcissists.
It's true. Not mutually exclusive categories. Exactly. So they interviewed like 34,000 adults, right? And essentially what they found is that of this group of people who had sort of alcohol and other, like alcohol abuse and other sort of related conditions, right, that their lifetime prevalence of NPD was 6.2%. And that was 7.7 for men and 4.8% for women. Mm. So like there's like from that, you could sort of imagine it seems there's a higher proportion of people with NPD within that group of people who had some kind of alcohol or substance abuse disorder,
yeah,
which would then point to obviously there being higher rates of substance abuse amongst those with NPD, mm, which then again would kind of point to it not being what is seen on the outside, which is you're rude and unempathetic and not nice to, yeah, people around you, and more of a sort of, I don't want to say like an inner turmoil thing, but you know what I mean? Like,
yeah,
there's, like
there's something you're medicating
it
for.
Like, yeah.
If you're overusing alcohol, there's something inside you that you want to stop feeling.
Yes.
And you are medicating that away in the form of alcohol. So yeah, there's, that would suggest like something's going on that you don't like.
Yes.
And that might be causing, that feeling inside might be causing some of your external behavior.
Yeah.
But it's not just that you're like, I want to act like this and there's no reason and I'm perfectly happy. I just want to be like this.
Yeah. Well, I was also thinking, because like, obviously there's like that sense of like grandiosity, but I also feel like internally, I feel like there'd be a conflict there.
Yeah, like a low self, like, yeah, it's a mask for a low self-esteem sort, yeah, of thing. Well, that is part of the sort of mask theory. So those two that I mentioned earlier, mm, apparently came up with this mask theory as well. To be honest with you, I could probably look into these two for an entire episode, but yeah, like they pop up a fair few times, a few different things, it seems. But yeah, no, it to my knowledge, they came up with this sort of mask theory where, yeah, it is in their mind sort of a front for a much lower self-esteem and, mm, like self sort of aggrandization to mask self-hatred, essentially.
Yeah. Well, it's right? Like fake it until you make it.
Yeah.
But on a big scale.
I'm not going to lie. I tried doing that once. I was like, I was really not confident as a kid. And I was like, I'll just be confident. And people are like, you're arrogant. And I'm like, I hate myself. And why does oh, this backfired.
I was in the doctor's recently and the guy in front of me was like, he was like making a real effort to look hard. You know, like he's just dressing, mm, like, I want you to be scared of me.
Packing, yeah, his trousers full of, yeah, I've, yeah, been there.
He wanted to look hard.
Oh, yeah, looking hard.
Scary.
Pop a cucumber down.
Stop
there.
Stop it. I have a point to make. And I found it really interesting. It took, literally, I'm like 29, and I was, yeah, like, oh, I never realized that you might be like doing that, mm, because inside you feel like you need people to like take you seriously.
Yeah.
I never realized that might be like a mask that you're, yeah, wearing, rather than, oh, like, this person's just actually scary.
Yeah.
I was like, oh, you might just need people to be scared of you because inside you feel like, I don't know what you might feel like,
yeah,
but life's easier if people are scared of you, mm, than if they're not scared,
probably,
of you.
Yeah.
And that made me really sad.
Thanks, Luke, for that very depressing story. No, but I get you. Like, it's interesting how many fronts people put up, and I think it's very easy to sort of just sort of look at the surface level, right? Not read the subtext, not read between the lines. I mean, it's almost similar to the lack of media literacy in so many people. Do you know how people will watch a show and they'll not understand, you know, that just because something wasn't said explicitly, that doesn't mean that thing wasn't intended by the creator of the show.
Sure. Right?
They can't look into the subtext, all of that sort of thing. I think it's a similar thing when looking at people where they're like, well, this person did these actions and I can't come up with any explanation myself. Therefore, this person is evil and terrible and the worst.
My brain works the opposite way.
Both of you have the opposite problem.
Someone will be really mean and I'm like, maybe they were abused as a child.
Yeah,
poor them.
That's my brain too. I think this is called, Rachel Kiki was telling me about this recently. It's called fundamental attribution error, mm, in psychology, which is like when somebody has a behavior, the error is to suggest that this is a fundamental attribute of the person. Like, mm, this person is just an evil person, mm, as opposed to like what happened in your day or what happened in your week or your month or your life,
yeah,
that meant that was the way that you came out, rather than just, mm, writing people off as stereotypes. Oh, that's one of those evil people.
I always
knew they existed.
I think that people forget that they have the capacity to be just as shitty as a lot of the other people around them. Like, you know, because... No, I mean,
if they were pushed enough.
No, but if you're living in your own world sort of thing, right? Like, and you're the center of your own universe in many ways, right? Like, the only experience you, mm, have is your own. You have to then rely on connections with other people to understand theirs. But, for example, let's say you're on the tube or get on a train or something, and someone, like, they take a seat from you or they don't give you... They're rude in some way, right? Now, it's very easy to be like, oh, this person is just... the worst, like they suck. But then also consider, if you had anxiety and you really could not like, and you had a bad day and you could not bear to speak to someone, you could come off as standoffish,
yeah,
aloof, even like rude, just through not being able to engage with that situation. If you've had a horrible day, right? Like, you might not have the patience for someone who's like being a bit irritating. Like, and that's something that everyone like will go through at some point. And it's so easy to understand and write off your own behavior because you know what your motives are.
Mm.
But it's so hard to then like come up with these sort of charitable motives for other people.
Yeah, I literally had this thing a few weeks ago where somebody posted like a TikTok about me, and in the comments was just like, oh, I worked with him once and he's like every celebrity, so full of himself. God. And I responded, I was like, I don't know who you are and I don't recognize your face. Like, what happened? And they were like, oh, well, you just seemed like you didn't really want to talk, but thinking again, you might have just been tired.
Yeah, I'm really sorry for posting that TikTok. I shouldn't have done that.
But it's just like, people are so quick to just be like, this one behavior is this entire person.
Yeah. Okay, here's the thing. I get harassed at your shows, yes. And I'm not even using that lightly. I mean, no. I have people screaming in my face from a foot away whilst I've got like earplugs, headphones in, and I'm setting up camera equipment, right? Like, and I need to pay attention to that. I have ADHD, and on tour, there is so much going on.
Mm.
It's like, it's almost impossible to focus. Like, I lose at least 1 to 3 things, at least, every single time we go on tour.
Mm.
I just have to accept it, right? Like, and it's not just small things. It can be expensive things too. Like, I
a GoPro we lost.
Yeah, that was not my fault. It was a little bit my fault. Anyway, no, but my point is that I get people screaming at me and stuff, right? And so obviously, I'll lose patience with that, and I'm not going to give you, you know, the effort that it takes to be nice and friendly and bubbly and like all of that sort of thing. If you're just going to be screaming in my face,
maybe we should just mask more.
I know, right? But then that's the thing. People will say, "Oh, he was really rude." And it's like, well, actually, was I rude, or did I just treat you like what you are—a stranger who was trying to talk to me whilst I'm at work?
Yeah,
I wasn't rude to you. I just didn't match your energy because I wanted to get away and chill.
Yeah.
You know, it's like when people say, "Oh, this celebrity is horrible to their fans." I read that as this person is entitled. This like. The person who's posting this feels entitled to a stranger's time because they saw them on TV.
Mm.
It's all kind of tied together. But let's get back to NPD, don't you think?
Yeah, I think we've spent enough time complaining.
It'd be a shame if we went and did something crazy like ran an ad. Ding-a-ling-ling, this prawn in my hand is telling me that that's the ad bell.
Goodness me, Corey, when did you learn to speak to prawns?
Well, look, I learned to speak prawn as soon as I subscribed to SciGuys on YouTube and also went ahead and followed them on Apple Podcasts and Spotify.
That's an awful lot of amazing things you've done there, Corey. I wish that everybody else would do that right now.
Yeah, who knows? Maybe if you follow SciGuys on Apple Podcasts and Spotify and go ahead and subscribe to SciGuys on YouTube, you might be able to speak to prawns too.
But how much does it cost?
It's absolutely free.
What?
Yes, and not only does it let you speak to prawns, it also supports the show and helps it get out to more people.
That is eminently desirable.
Yes, it is. So go ahead and subscribe to SciGuys on YouTube and follow us on Apple Podcasts and Spotify if you want to speak to prawns.
Warning, subscribing to SciGuys on YouTube and following us on Apple and Spotify may not allow you to actually speak to prawns.
Can either of you tell me the signs and or symptoms of NPD?
Oh, lack of empathy, sense of grandiosity,
mm-hmm.
being cold with people or treating people with an utter like lack of respect for their sense of being a person, as in like just treating people really rudely, maybe like being selfish, only acting in your own interests.
Yeah, so a lot of this sort of stuff you're kind of hitting on it. Yeah, so I'll just run through the list so that we don't miss anything. I will probably repeat several things that you said. You want to catch this sort of stuff in early adulthood. That's what it sort of starts to show, apparently, or rather, it needs to have started showing by then to be classified as NPD, probably. Look, what I like.
So you can't develop it later in life, then, or just in terms of the way that they diagnose it.
Yeah, to my knowledge, you can't develop NPD later in life.
Okay.
I think, look, we'll get into what I think about this later, but like I think this is one of those things where it's a kind of a developmental issue, if in terms of like. Based on what I've read, it seems the way you're treated as a child has a strong impact on this, along with some other factors. And so I cannot imagine it really being super possible for one to develop like clinical narcissistic traits in adult life after there's been so much sort of foundation set for one's personality.
Well, right? I guess maybe it could be similar to like attachment theory in that way.
Yeah, not dissimilar, I suppose. Yeah, actually, yeah, that's a really good analogy. And you should go watch that episode because Noah's also in it. Yeah. But yeah, no, so essentially sort of grandiosity. Do we know what we mean by grandiosity?
Picking yourself up. I'm the best, puffing your chest out.
Yeah, absolutely. And so it doesn't just need to be in that sense, as in with your relations to other people, but it could also be internal in how you view and consider yourself. Like, I'm just the best at what I do. You know, I'm better than everyone else and no one else can hold a candle to me sort of thing. Like that sort of thing in your head, telling yourself, yeah, I am. Yeah, like almost an unearned confidence, right? So a grandiose sense of self-importance. So like bigs up achievements, that sort of thing. And like as well, expects to be treated
as if everybody else thinks that of them.
Yeah, despite having no track record or nothing to show, you know, to validate that, right? Like, so for example, like if I was to be like, yeah, I am genuinely probably the most successful podcaster in the world. Like one of them, at the very least.
I'm with you.
Yeah.
I'll back you. I'll back you on that.
Yeah, you're up there with me.
But what about Joe Rogan?
I mean, I'll back you on that. I'll validate your narcissism for you.
Thank you. But that's the thing, right? So I say that, and, well, the podcast, it's done, does quite well. Yes, very good. But also, no, not nearly. Like, you know what I mean? Like, it's bigging up your, sort of that bigging up of your own achievements of, like, the things that you can do, your abilities, without really having anything to back it
up. It's like a delusional sense of self-confidence.
Absolutely, yeah. And then more than that, the fantasies of success, power, brilliance, beauty, or perfect love, right? So, and that's the thing as well. It doesn't need to be, like, this isn't, I think it could be misunderstood in terms of it just being focused in on the self, but it could also be like having high expectations for others, like idealizing others, idealizing like, what you should have in relationships. Do you know what I mean?
That's fascinating. You said that earlier on, and I found that fascinating that you, I think you'd so often consider narcissism to be a self thing, but actually it's almost like if you idealize other people, it's almost like other people narcissism. You're narcissisming them. You're saying they're the best person in the world. They're perfect.
Well, they'd have to be the best person in the world to be able to be around you or with you, but then if they don't meet your standards, that's probably when you could start seeing. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Right? Like you've got, if you idealize other people, right? So for example, I'm like, Luke should be perfect. When Luke is not perfect, that is bad.
Right.
You see what I mean?
Yeah.
I don't want you to take it as me saying like, this is someone who just sits and thinks, oh man, everyone around me is the best. Yeah, it's not, it's not quite as straightforward as that.
It's almost like you think you deserve perfect.
Yeah.
And so when anyone is less than perfect, you're like angry about that if they fall short of the incredibly high standards you think you deserve.
Yeah, and that's, I think that's key as well, like standards that you think you deserve, that also like you, this isn't like a reciprocal relationship thing. This is like you're not meeting my standards that no one can meet because they're unattainable standards.
And, the standards in this case might be putting up with my narcissism.
I wouldn't even say putting up with narcissism, but like putting up with the sort of negative sort of interactions that come from that sort of, you know, internal sort of world.
I follow a few people with NPD that like just answered a bunch of questions about their experience. Mm-hmm. And one thing that I found interesting was that this one lady said that she had friends, but she didn't care about any of them. She only kept them around because they were beneficial to her. So I feel like if that's your relationship with the people around you, you lack empathy, you don't care about them. If they don't reach that expectation, it's kind of like all you're doing is taking.
Yeah.
And if you don't have any more to take from them, then I guess that would be a negative reaction from them.
I can't fathom what it would be like to not have like some empathy. I'm not saying oh, people with NPD are lying, right? But in like the deepest part of myself, I'm like, right, but you must feel some of it, though.
Well, there's two things here that I think might be worth exploring. Either it could be that like when we're growing up as children, we genuinely have to like have the insight that other people actually are full people, right?
Yeah.
That's theory of mind, right? You like having the insight, like, oh, when this person interacts with me, they have their own wants, and if I want something from them, I have to understand what they want, and then we can come to an agreement. Whereas if you don't think that, if you never like sort of realize that other people have just as complex inner life as you do, you don't sort of make the step of like modeling their mind and like, well, they're not conforming to what I want them to do. Why would they not do that?
Yeah.
They're just here to serve whatever my needs are. But the other one might be that I think genuinely, like, it is a one of the human traits to be like, oh, other people's feelings and wants are of value to me because we're a social animal.
Mm.
Whereas if you just didn't have, if you were just like, well, my job as a person is to regulate and to get my own needs met. Mm. Other people, they can regulate their own needs and get their own needs, but it's not my job at all to do that. Like, that's the two types that I could imagine is going on in their head. Like, either I don't care or I literally don't know that you have feelings.
I want to be clear, by the way. I just, like, because I didn't say this. I want to be... I'm not saying that people with NPD are lying about their experience, right? If someone says, yeah, I don't feel, like, empathy towards... I don't care about my friends, this and that. I believe you.
Yeah, you just can't picture feeling that.
I can't model that. Like
I'm an empath.
Well, no, I just you know, care deeply about other people, and that's a virtue, and I should be praised for it because thank you. No, but my point is that, like, oh, do you know what? My style of humor is really not good for this episode.
No.
It's really not.
I have a couple of friends whose, like, style of humor, you're one of them, whose, like, style of humor is, like, to just be an asshole. And I always, like, worried. I'm like, oh, God, anyone who doesn't know you really, really.
It's so anxiety-inducing. It's very funny.
I'm not that bothered. Yeah, exactly. It's so funny.
It's very funny, but anybody around that doesn't have the context for it. Oh my God.
That's part of the fun, is playing with fire. But no, my point is that, like, I can't model that. I genuinely, because whenever I think about it, right, like, you know, obviously doing these episodes, I read about a lot of stuff. I diagnose Noah with a bunch of stuff, and then I try to diagnose myself. You know, I'm like, oh, well, I can be rude. I can be this. I can be that. I could be brown. I could be blue. I could be, you know. But when it comes to this, and I think, like, oh, well, I feel like I can be mean, and I feel like I could be manipulative. But I don't like it. Like, I don't like that. That feels bad and wrong, and I don't... Like, it's like, internally, if ever it's like a case of, like, oh, I'm going to get what I want and be a little bit underhanded, it's like, this is really wrong, and I don't like doing it, fighting against, like, but the thing that I want.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? And
yeah.
Pretty much always, I find, it's the this is really wrong, and I don't want to do this, ends up winning. And so, like, I can't picture in my mind not having that, like, this feels morally wrong. That feeling, like, I can't picture existence without that. It's such an interesting thing where, like, these people are saying this is what my experience is, and I'm like, cool, I genuinely cannot, I can't begin to put myself in your shoes.
But it's a really interesting, like, step that we made evolutionarily as well. I'm sure other animals have it. They definitely have it for, like, their children. Like, animals have it for their kids, or they might have it for their brothers or sisters, they might have it for their parents. Like, genetically, right, if you are an organism, there are a set of things that are best for you that might be to the detriment of other people. And then we and other organisms have evolved this sort of mechanism that goes, well, actually, there's things that are best for sort of the genes that are not best for you, but are best in the long run.
Mm.
And we've got, like, a few things going on in our heads where, like, either we've got stuff that's, like, best for you in the short term versus long term. So you might have a feeling that motivates you towards the long term rather than the short term. That's a good thing generally for people. And then stuff that motivates you away from selfish behavior and pro-social behavior. And that's what I call, like, the human trait, because we sort of have it for a very wide range of people. We have it for, like, a lot of us at least have it for, like, humanity.
Mm.
Some people have it for living things at all.
Some people have it for rocks that they find. I don't want to hurt the rocks, Luke.
I do. I sometimes have it for, like, inanimate objects, but then I'm like, okay. I have it for food when I have food and I'm, like, throwing it away. I'm like, I feel bad because that food wanted to be eaten.
I had it for, like, I had two umbrellas as a kid, and I would always try and take both of them out.
Oh,
when
just,
it was raining, because
so
I was like, I don't want to leave this one alone.
Yeah.
It would be lonely.
Something wrong with us.
Yeah.
I have heard that that's a sign of autism.
Everything's a sign of autism nowadays.
Oh.
That's what I heard on TikTok.
Man.
Step into modern luxury at Langham in Grandview. Your boutique, studio plus suite awaits with a premium kitchen, spa-inspired bathroom, and elevated finishes throughout. Just steps from your door, lounge poolside in a private cabana, unwind in the hydrotherapy spa, perfect your swing with virtual golf simulators, or visit the fitness center for a Peloton ride. Availability at Langham is limited. Reserve your studio plus suite today at livepreferred.com.
League's Cup returns to Columbus. Your reigning League's Cup champion Columbus Crew are hosting three matches at Lower.com Field. Come out and watch the Crew take on teams from Liga MX, Toluca, Puebla, and León starting July 29th. Grab your tickets now at ColumbusCrew.com and watch the best in North America battle to keep the trophy at home in Columbus. No ties, only wins. Major League Soccer versus Liga MX. League's Cup returns to Columbus, Ohio. Be there.
Okay, so let's continue with the symptoms because we've already veered off. We've not even gotten through that whole list. So, you know, fantasies of success, power, brilliance, beauty, perfect love, mentioned those. Believing that you're special, you know, that you're like above others, that you should only have to be like, you know, be interacting with other people who are as special as you, who are on your level. In fact, the only people that can understand you truly are people that are like you, that are special. And that is, like, the thing is, these traits, right? I know that I've seen these traits in people who are not, like, clinically NPD. Do you know what I mean? And it's interesting that just like any sort of you know, personality or sort of mood disorder, really, most of them, that these are just traits that you see in the population generally. You know, a lot of these traits are things you see in the population, but in this case, they're at like sort of levels that are abnormal, let's say, or potentially detrimental to one's own well-being or the well-being of those around around them. And yeah, it's just really interesting reading through this and being like, oh yeah, like having all of these as your experience as one person would be really difficult because that is really lonely, right? Like an existence wherein you think I am genuinely better than others and I can't get what I need from other people, like, that is a lonely existence.
There's a quote about this from David Foster Wallace, which says, everybody is identical in their secret unspoken belief that way deep down, they are different from everybody else. So yeah, I think that is a fundamental thing as well. But it's just like you're saying, it's in, like, the levels are off the scale of like, the normal range.
And, like, I get it. I also do genuinely believe I am different from everyone else.
You're the best podcaster in the world, Corey.
No, I'm worse. I'm worse than everyone else. Like, that's my one claim. Like, the one thing I do best is being worse than literally everyone else on the planet.
Oh my God, James Acaster has a bit about this where he's like, someone's the worst. Someone in the world is just the worst and they're just out there living their life. We found him. Here he is.
Oh, you guys. And yeah, so going on requires excessive admiration. Again, I'm just reading these verbatim. For you, sense of entitlement, and then this is kind of what I was mentioning earlier, an unreasonable expectation of favorable treatment or compliance with their expectations, right? So, like that's an example of, like, you know, needing, like having a sense of entitlement, right? So feeling entitled to things that, you know, you don't necessarily deserve. So, in relationships, for example, needing a certain level of, you know, respect or having standards that people just cannot meet. And not being willing to meet people halfway, not even being willing to put in that yourself necessarily, because potentially you even believe that you yourself are putting that in, right? To go on being exploitative, right? Taking advantage of others just for your own well-being, right? So, which makes sense, right? Like, I'm not going to lie. Yeah, I'd be manipulating people all the time if I didn't feel empathy. Like, I'm not in a sense that I want to, just in a sense that the thing
you
wouldn't
care.
Well, that's the thing. The thing that stops you from doing it is being like, that feels wrong. Why does that feel wrong? Because I wouldn't like if that happened to me. And if that happens to someone else, that's like functionally the same as that happening to me. Their experience would be the same as mine. I don't want to do that to someone else. That's the thing I don't want to do.
People could be so successful if they lacked empathy. Because they could just take advantage of literally everybody and not care whatsoever who they hurt.
It's not like hard to manipulate people in the sense that, like, generally people, yes, people can be like kind of expect they're going to be manipulated in some scenarios and like try to avoid it, but generally people are relatively trusting.
Oh yeah, I'm an idiot.
Yeah, me too.
Oh, I would, I'm not gonna lie, if I really did want to take advantage of people, it would be you too.
We're the two most easily manipulated people. Good, no, because we definitely operate on the idea that, like, people mean well.
Yeah,
like, if someone's done something malicious, I'm like, but there must be a reason.
Sometimes things happen in public wherein, like, someone discriminates against Noah and I, for any of the myriad reasons that one might choose to discriminate against the two of us.
Intersectional identity.
Exactly. So, what happens is someone does something and immediately I'm aware that we're being discriminated against. And I'm like, I'm on guard, you know, just like, okay, hold on. What is going on here? Why are you doing this? Is this going to be done to everyone else sort of thing? And Noah's like, I'm sure it's something else. I'm sure they're fine.
It's a secret third reason.
It's another, like, they just do this to everyone. I'm like, you can see the people over there, they're not doing that too. It's like, well, maybe they just decided at random. I'm like, that's exactly the point. Like, but do you know what I mean? Like, and not
that's
in a bad way.
That's how they justify stop and search.
It's literally this story. We were in a hotel in Cardiff and, like, we went in and they asked for both our IDs. And I'm like, that's because we look young. But then we come in later and the people that are in the hotel are just like, we walk in and they're like, oh, where's your card? Where's your card?
What room are you in? What room are you in? And I'm like, I don't remember what room I'm in.
Because they don't think
remember
that we
where I went
in the hotel.
Yeah, that stuff happens. And like, it wasn't until that second point where I think you were like, oh yeah, no, like 100%.
Yeah.
I'm with you. Yeah, that's what happened.
Yeah.
Whereas from the start, I'm like, there is no reason to check both of our IDs. There's no reason to tell us multiple times not to smoke in the room. There's no reason to do all of these things.
Yeah.
There's no reason to randomly come up with excuses when I ask, hey, why are you doing this? You know?
Mm.
And like, I feel like both of you, in fact, I've had this conversation with both of you on many separate occasions. Both of you operate under the assumption that people are good and not being malicious in any way whatsoever. But often people will just be a little bit...
I'm a narcissist. Dream.
Oh, buddy. I don't think a narcissist could be bothered with you.
Too easy. No
There's
challenge.
No fun in it. It's like shooting fish in a barrel. Honestly, the fact is that I genuinely feel like I'm worried about accidentally manipulating you guys sometimes. I'm worried about accidentally taking advantage of you because you guys make it too easy. I'm going to move on before...
yeah.
Okay, finishing the signs and symptoms. So we've done being exploitative, taking advantage of people, lacking empathy, unwilling to identify with the needs of others, right? So this is, like, it says lacks empathy and is unwilling to identify with the needs of others. And I think that's interesting to me because, like, empathy is not a choice necessarily, right? Well, I mean, yeah, you can kind of choose to try and ignore it, but, like...
Whether it's there or not is not a choice.
Yeah
exactly. But then choosing to, like, sort of, like give into that or, like, choosing to, like, let yourself, like, actually listen to that kind of is a choice, right? Like, you can try to ignore your feelings of empathy. Not easy. I don't like it. It's hard. Not good. But, like, you know, you can ignore, and that's something that you need to do. For example, let's say cutting off a family member, right? You're cutting off a friend, someone who has hurt you, who you empathize with, right? And you're like, oh, I feel bad doing this to you, and I feel bad because I'm putting myself in your shoes and, you know, like, what's happened to you that puts you there. But then also you've got to set that aside to be like, wait, no, hold on, I need to set a boundary for me.
Yeah.
And that's, like, something that you, like, that you need to be able to do, that, like, people generally are kind of capable of doing because it's an inherent part of setting a boundary, right? Setting aside someone else's feelings to, like, prioritize your own, to prioritize your safety. And it's interesting that here, in this case, it's like, yeah, this is something that we're all kind of capable of, but this is, like, default position in this group, or can be default position for members of this group. And here's one that's interesting. Envious of others, or believes that others are envious of them, right? So, like, God, I'm so... Like, Luke is just so good at podcasting, and I'm just like, oh, I wish I could have, like, his, like, success at, Or believing, like, Noah is so jealous of my podcasting abilities.
Yeah, it keeps me up at night.
I'm sure it does. Mm. Yeah, fucking listening to Sci Guys being like, I wish I could talk shit like that. Yeah. Oh. But no, you know what I mean? So, like, being envious of others and believing others to be envious of them is part of that. And then final one, arrogant behaviors. Do we know what we mean by arrogant? Do not make the joke that either of you are probably going to make.
What were we
going to
make?
I think he thought that we were thinking about him.
Didn't think this.
Oh.
Oh, what joke would we make?
Why would anyone think about me all the time?
Oh, there you go. We were both just like, oh, okay. No, it wasn't.
Oh, we just trusted. We trusted him too much.
I could tell you don't trust me and you'd be like, oh, I'm sure I will. I will trust you. Yeah. Do you guys know about the subtypes of NPD? Noah is an appropriate answer, by the way.
Noah is an appropriate answer.
No.
But I also heard that. No.
Good. Okay. Well, I'll tell you what they are. There's grandiose subtype. Now, that is, can you guess? Can anyone want to throw
the
a guess
where you're begging yourself up all the time.
Yeah, when you're really good.
And then there's a vulnerable subtype.
Oh, one thing that might
immediately Noah and I.
It's when they're insecure.
Poor little
vulnerable. They're vulnerable to what?
Wow. So the fact that you guys both reacted in the exact same way and then you thought about it for a few seconds, you're like, wait, what? That doesn't make no... Okay, so the grandiose subtype, that's like your sort of, I guess, stereotypical narcissist, right? Like aggressive towards people that they, you know, deem not worthy or that wind them up or, you know, whatever reason you've got for like displaying that sort of aggression, just being upfront, like, you know, that sort of thing, right? And then the vulnerable subtype is more sort of sensitive and like, if you think about narcissism or NPD as being less like, I am absolutely the best person on the planet, and think about it more as this sort of lack of self-esteem and need for others to see, you know, and need to be seen as sort of valuable, right? Then you can kind of understand how the vulnerable subtype kind of works, in the sense that like, you're defensive, you're sensitive to things, and you know, if someone, it's very easy for people to threaten your sort of sense of, your sort of sense of who you should be or how you should be seen.
Almost like rejective, like not the same, but like rejection sensitive dysphoria, where you are sort of experiencing everything as a rejection. And so if there's something that, where the subtext of a sentence that someone says could be, you're not the best person in the world, literally, then you're very sensitive to that sort of that suggestion that you that doesn't verify your sort of sense of self.
Yeah, and like if you think about it, right, you talk about people who are sort of narcissists that you have like sort of bad experiences with, right? Like someone who you can't say anything remotely critical about anything to do with them without them essentially blowing up and being like, no, I am, why would you say, like, I, like, being defensive about any sort of thing you say, right? And I feel like it seems almost antithetical, or it could seem almost antithetical to some people, that someone who is so sensitive and defensive and stuff could be
a narcissist, because you'd think they just filter it all out. Any criticism is just incorrect.
Yeah, but it's the fact that like it's almost a threat.
I think that makes the most sense to me.
Yeah, like, no, that to me, absolutely. Yeah, I mean, yeah, I get you. Yeah,
just in my experience with people in general, if they're acting out, it's usually because they don't feel that good about themselves. And if they're acting out by telling everybody that they're the best or acting like they're the best, it's probably because they know they're not.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know how it is, because there's been some research into NPD, but it's one of those ones where I start looking into it, and I think there's going to be a lot more than there is, and I tend to try to look at sort of specific sources. So I know there's people talking about this on YouTube and like other places online, but that's not where I tend to go for information. And that's kind of why I wanted Noah on this episode, because I know that he watches all of this sort of stuff, and he can bring that element in from what he's sort of seen online. But like, yeah, I think it's something that is misunderstood, right? And I don't think, you know, you can just write off all of the sort of bad behavior, right? Or the hurt that can be caused by someone reacting, you know, the way that they naturally do.
Obviously, like, if somebody lacks empathy, that doesn't mean that, like, logically they can understand it. Like, I feel like people, they know right from wrong, but they just have less motivation to do right if the wrong thing will earn them something.
Yeah, well, I think most people, like, again, I don't know about this, but I think most people probably, like, the moral thing that stops them, their conscience is not a little cricket. It's that feeling of, like, empathy towards other people. Like, you can intellectually understand good and, like, good and bad, right and wrong, but yeah, I think if you don't have that, like, kind of, like, little drive inside you being like, hey, this feels bad to do, you'd be way, like, more people would be doing bad stuff, like, all the time. There's those two subtypes. There's been, I think, a more research into the grandiose subtype, that's kind of your standard picture of what it would be. But do you have any idea of any of the comorbidities? So anything that, you know, you might see alongside NPD?
Depression, substance abuse issues, anxiety, paranoia.
Wow.
Other maybe, like, other personalities.
Are you joking me?
No, like, I was gonna, like, BPD.
No, yeah, no, absolutely, yeah. And actually, it's interesting. So I quickly sort of skimmed this paper. There's, I think, some evidence that there's maybe some kind of link between BPD and NPD, despite the fact that they seem sort of very, very different, right? Mm. They're almost opposites in a way, but due to some sort of signaling they found in blood, there might be some similar link.
In blood?
Yeah, so it's to do with oxidative stress on the body. Don't worry about any of this. This is like stuff that I will find interesting because I did a biotech degree.
Yeah.
And so I have some, like, I have like a baseline biology knowledge, and like I can parse through like these kind of papers. But to then sit and explain it to you, it is not interesting enough for you to. it's not worth anyone's. Like, if you're interested in this, go look it up. But it's not worth the time in the episode to go through this.
And are we fairly certain that narcissistic personality disorder is like it's a disorder created by something that happens to you? Or is there any suggestion that this might be sort of one strategy in life that has genetic markers? Like, because you know, we know that there might be, for example, for what's the sort of medical term for what we would call psychopath?
Oh, antisocial personality disorder.
Yeah, so we know that there would be like some, if you can sort of get away with some of the traits we would colloquially consider psychopathy, if you can get away with them, there is obvious benefit to you.
Yeah.
And then sort of the rest of the population wants to make sure you don't get away with it because we're all trying to work together.
Mm.
So there would be some genetic advantage to some what we might deem like personality disorders. They could be genetic strategies, which is like if you can sort of take advantage of some people, you might do better in life or life might be easier for you and you propagate your genes.
Yeah, but by that, like, you know, there you could say that about a lot of different traits. Do you know what I mean? That there is some sort of, I guess, genetic benefit to them.
Like aggression, yeah.
Yeah, like aggression. Yeah, exactly what I was thinking of, yeah. And I don't know. I think it's an interesting line of thought. I don't mean to shoot you down. I think it's an interesting line of thought, but I don't think it's valuable in terms of, like, the sort of world that we live in. Do you know what I mean? Right? Like, and I think it's definitely interesting. I'd love to have a chat about it. But, like, it's whether something is a disorder or whether it's, you know, something that came about evolutionarily and was beneficial at some point and is now less so because of, you know, the societies that we live in and just it causing harm to other people and it being less sort of you being less able to get away with it, right? Sort of thing, right? I don't know if there is much value in that conversation when talking about NPD, because ultimately it doesn't matter the evolutionary origin to me in the sense that I find that, like, it's we like to, as people, we like to look at something that's evolved and be like, natural, therefore has value, is at the very least, like, morally neutral. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
And I feel like I feel like maybe where you're coming from is kind of like decreased stigma towards NPD. That's what I'm picking up from you. No,
it's not necessarily about stigma. It's more about just like, is this like pure and simple, this is a result of, for example, being neglected by your parents. This is the result of any person or most people when neglected by their parents, some of them will become this thing. Or is it like this is one strategy that the human race has taken, a part of the human race has taken in order to propagate their genes? Like, those are different things. And it might be sort of both. But I'm just interested as to whether it's a strategy or basically like an error. Like, when you don't get what you need, this is what happens to you.
And that's such a human question. And I don't think there is an answer to that, in the sense that, like, biologically speaking, I just think we like to simplify things, and biology, evolution, all of that is very complex.
Yeah.
And I feel like it gets to the point of splitting hairs of, like, Is this sort of something that has evolved because it's beneficial, or is this just what happens when you treat people poorly? Do you know what I mean? It could be both. Like, as you're saying, it could be both. It could be neither. Like,
the sort of divide between those two might not really exist.
Yeah, and it's trying to, like, I think that trying to put a pin down like that on something evolutionary, like something that's evolved, right, on evolution in general, is like a losing battle, because, you know, it's mostly just kind of, accidents doesn't even fit, right? Because accident still implies there is the capacity for intent.
Mm-hmm.
It just is. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
It's an interesting line of thought. I'd struggle to give a remotely satisfying answer, because ultimately biology is just too complex. But I mean, I like the line of thinking. But to get back to this, yeah, you're spot on, Noah. The comorbidities, it's personality disorders, anxiety, depression, substance abuse, particularly, right? And it's like, this is like sort of really deep, and this is kind of, I guess, unexpected, but also sort of self-harm and beyond. That is, that sort of stuff is more common amongst people with NPD, which again, I think, to me at least, would point to that being kind of like a lonely sort of thing. And yeah. Like, you know, if you look at the internal sort of experience, it's largely quite different than what is sort of externalized.
It kind of just feels like NPD is just like a coping mechanism that... I feel like NPD kind of just feels like a coping mechanism for trauma. Or like lack of self-worth, so much to the extent like you've gone through so much that like this is the only way that you know how to react.
Yeah, I don't know, but that is what it sounds like to me. So I mean, if we move on from the comorbidities, I mean, like, there's what can we say about those? You know, it's the same thing that we see every time when someone has some kind of, you know, mental health disorder or personality disorder or some kind of thing that makes them different from normal. You almost always see substance abuse, depression, anxiety, these sort of other personality disorders. That's interesting. It's definitely an interesting thing. But yeah, I think if you come away from this at all with anything, I mean, people watching and listening, for me, what I'd want is like empathy towards towards people who have NPD. You know what I mean? Like, because we use narcissist as just a flat insult, and I understand that in the sense that like those are traits that are not desirable in another person. And if someone you're speaking to is like, you know, subclinical, it's well within their control to not be like that, or they're not making an effort to, you know, not have those traits. And again, I'm talking about someone who is like subclinical, by which I mean not diagnosed and not beyond the level where one could be diagnosed. Then I think it makes sense to say, hey, those behaviors that you're engaging in are harmful and hurtful, and you should stop. You are being bad person. It just sucks that bad person is also synonymous with like this disorder that probably stems from trauma that makes you feel about as bad as you make the people around you feel potentially.
I think it's difficult as well, because like the amount of people that like have gone through abuse from narcissistic parents is probably a big amount.
Oh God, yeah.
And like, I guess it probably must be hard for people that have like suffered from that to not to have the empathy, but to see it from that extent. Because like, if you have a disorder that makes you act out terribly towards people, that sucks. You still deserve empathy, but it sucks for everybody around you.
Yeah, I think like, you know, I mean, we've all had friends who are mentally ill, different, like with different sort of things.
Past tense, yes. In the past, yes, I feel like I remember that. Yeah,
yeah, long ago. Yeah. But we've all had friends who are mentally ill, and like ultimate, and we've been the friend who is mentally ill. Mm. And I'll be the first to say it: being friends with people who are mentally ill is fucking taxing.
Yeah, it's
exhausting. I know I have been and continue to be an exhausting person to like. You know what I mean? Like, if you want to like me, well, no, not if you want to like me. If you like me, I'm sorry. You know what I mean? Like, handful, I know. I'm with you. I get it, right? And I think there's like a really difficult line to walk where it's like, look, your friend who is depressed, yeah, man, they're shit to be around probably because they're depressed. Of course, they're not going to be fun to be around. There's not a single depressed person who is fun to be around who isn't putting in a lot of effort to be fun to be around.
Uh-huh, yeah.
Unless they're putting in like a lot of effort to be fun to be around, right? Yeah. But that doesn't mean that you shouldn't then try to like be there for your friend. Mm. But then that doesn't mean that, you know, your depressed friend then has every right to be like, oh, cool, well, depression makes you irritable. And like that means that I can just be, you know, flaky and rude and horrible to the people around me and they have to deal with it because I'm mentally ill. No. Like, you have to do what you can do, and you have to recognize also that, like, you know, if someone's setting a boundary of, like, look, I can't, like, this, it is too hurtful to me, it's too, like, it is too detrimental to my own well-being to, you know, continue having this, the relationship that we have with each other, or continue, you know, engaging with you as much as I am, like, I want to be there for you, but I can't be there for you, like, in this moment. Like, if that's something that has to happen, that's something that has to happen. But, like, I think there needs to be more empathy when it comes to, like, if we talk about, you know, oh, we want to care about mental illness, you know, let's deal with mental health, as all the locals have now decided it's a very cool thing to do because the government said, hey, we're going to pretend to care about this for a bit. If that's something that people want to be serious about, that means, to some degree, putting up with friends and also sometimes strangers who are not nice to be around.
Mm. Maybe not. Maybe not putting up, but like putting in effort to understand why they're like that. Because I feel like there's never an excuse to be abusive. There can be like reasons for it.
I'm not talking about being abusive. Yeah, but I just mean like as in sort of like uncomfortable or like not wholly positive. Yeah, but I agree with you. Sorry, carry on.
Yeah, I feel like with MPD it's difficult because there's never an excuse to be abusive. Mm-hmm. But there is a reason for it.
Yeah,
I don't think that makes it okay.
I think it's I can imagine it's difficult to have a way that you naturally react, and then also have to just completely act against your own nature.
Yeah,
all the time.
Mm.
Like, it is exhausting. Like, okay, put it this way, right? I mean, I speak from experience. I have behaviors of mine that I don't want to have. They're not the best behaviors, do you know what I mean? Like, I like the way I react to certain things, I could do that better. I mean, we all have that. You especially, mate. I...
You need to stop giggling so much.
I'm sorry.
I am joking. But no, I mean, like, everyone has behaviors that, you know, that they should work on, right? And
not me.
That's one of them. And and if I'm honest, right, like, sometimes I have felt like, man, yeah, I need to put in so much work to just be not myself.
You're also masking ADHD.
No,
you're doing that all the time,
exactly,
as well.
Right? And that's what I mean. Like, impulsive and not saying, and like, I come home after a night and I'm like, man, I wasn't on my Ritalin today because whatever, I was doing this. And I can feel the difference. I'm like, why did I say this? Mm. Why did I do that? Like, it wasn't like rude or horrible or anything. I'm just like, I don't want, that's not the person I want to be, but unfortunately that's the person that I fundamentally am.
Mm.
And it takes effort to not be that. And I guess you can imagine that if you're the kind of, if like, your natural response to things through trauma is, you know, being abusive towards others, like, that is, one, I'm not justifying abuse by any means, but like, it must suck to just feel like, oh, my natural self is like abusive. But then also to have to like actively go against your own instinct and your own personality for people to be around you. Do you know what I mean?
It would suck having to manually care about people.
Yeah, I couldn't be bothered with that.
And like,
I'm not joking.
Like, that must be exhausting.
Like, if I'm honest with you, man, if I didn't have the empathy that I do now, I wouldn't be putting in the effort. I've put enough effort for that already. I can't be bothered with it. Oh, God. You know, some people really make it hard to care. Some people, they really do. I care about all humans, but then, like, you know, anti-vaxxers come around and I'm like, oh, come on, you know?
Yeah, of course.
Diagnosis. I was going to give us a test to do. I've got this test. It takes a few minutes. We could go through some
of
the questions now if you want.
Or we can just do it.
Well, let's not do it. We'll go through some of the questions. We can maybe do it off pod or for a bonus thing at some point. But yeah, it's not a whole bunch of questions, but some of them are quite interesting. There's only two answers for each. You've got to choose between one of the two. So, for example, just a random one. When people compliment me, I sometimes get embarrassed, or I know that I'm good because everybody keeps telling me so. And then I have a natural talent for influencing people. I am not good at influencing people.
Can you not be both?
When I read this earlier today, I looked at the wording and I'm like, oh.
It's either you're
my
really
insecure. Is going to trip up over this. Well, he's going to hate it.
It's
he's
just like the two options are like, oh, I'm embarrassed. It's so embarrassing that I'm good at things. And the other one is maybe you are good at things.
Yeah, but.
And that's why you're aware that people are telling you that.
If you think about it, right, like if you answer enough of these questions in a specific, it's not like one of these questions is really going to tip you over the scales and say like, oh, this is, you know.
Yes, but I just reject the question.
I think this specific test is to generally get an idea of subclinical narcissistic traits.
Yeah.
And then the diagnosis would be a sort of.
More in-depth.
Well, yeah, it would be like, you know, you're similar to lots of diagnoses for these sorts of things. It would just be basically an interview, like an evaluation sort of thing. Mm. But yeah, I can usually talk my way out of anything. I try to accept the consequences of my behavior, right?
Mm.
The thought of ruling the world frightens the hell out of me. If I ruled the world, it would be a better place. You know, like these sorts of choices between two things. And doing the test, it was really interesting. By the way, got quite a low score.
Congratulations. 40,
good job.
Which is good.
Well done. Yeah. You passed.
Well, no. So that, when I say good, as in...
average and normal?
As in, the higher the score, the higher the narcissist
yes.
traits.
Corey, we get it. You have the lowest score of anybody ever.
You're right. The best at not being a narcissist.
Thank you. That's all I've wanted you to say. No, okay. But the causes, right? We've kind of touched on this a lot. It's multifaceted.
Mm.
We don't know. so, there seems to be maybe potentially a sort of genetic element to it. But can either of you perhaps think why looking at someone whose parents, let's say, have NPD and... then they then are diagnosed with NPD later in life. Can you think of any reason why it might be difficult to point to genetics as being the root cause of that?
Because you can't separate genetics if you're being raised by that person. It's nature and nurture.
Oop. Yeah, so it literally, it could be a case of, you're spot on, well done. It could literally
maybe
be a
we
case
should, no.
of... What?
Maybe we should remove the children of narcissists.
Maybe we just, like, study twin separation
okay.
of birth.
Guys, that's easier. You are, like, 2 steps away from eugenics, and I just want to put a stopper on it here.
Hey, I didn't say it. That was no.
I stopped myself. It was a joke, mostly.
I get it, but that is how it starts. This happens to the best of us, right? You think you've got a great idea, and then 2 steps later, oops, did a eugenics. That's, like, you know, like, a lot of great ideas end up actually just being eugenics and not great ideas at all. No, I'm not joking. Like, when people say, like, oh, yeah. you should have to take a test to before you have children, right? And
oh, yeah, no.
Sounds like a great idea. No, but it sounds like a great idea. That would mean that people are better parents. Oh, wait, no, that's eugenics.
Yeah.
Damn, just stop the poors and whoever you don't want from having children, right? And that's what I mean by a lot of great-seeming ideas actually just end up being eugenics. Anyway, so causes of NPD... yeah, we don't know if it's a genetic element just from seeing that, you know, if you've got parents that have NPD, that you're more likely to have NPD, because it literally should just be you are picking up how to interact with others and all of that sort of stuff from your parents. Nurture over nature, you could say then. But yeah, we think it's generally, genetic predisposition to some degree. And then also either sort of overprotective or neglectful parenting. So either extreme, right? You can understand how, like, fawning over your child and saying you're the best, they internalize that.
Oh, yeah.
And you could also understand how the alternative is true, how giving a child little attention and little praise could lead them to building a sort of suit of armor around themselves.
I was going to say, I cannot diagnose this, but there's a girl that I grew up around that, like, has a lot of those traits, and I know that her mother, when she was young, put her into, like, childhood modeling, always thought her she was the prettiest, she would tell everybody else she was prettier than them, and, like, she had, like, a burn book, like, in Mean Girls, where all she spoke about was how she was better than everybody else.
Whoa.
And it got found out, and then, yeah, so, like, I can see how either end of the spectrum could cause that behavior.
But even then, right, like, okay, so she had a burn book, and I want to, like, let's try and employ the sort of empathy that we were talking about earlier, right? This person had a burn book wherein she just wrote about how she was better than everyone else. And what does that mean to you, right? Like, you could read that as, I think I'm better than everyone else, they're all terrible. I'd hear that now, having gone through this episode, and I'm like, oh, she genuinely just needed to tell herself how much better than she was than everyone else.
Oh,
because
yeah.
She needed to keep herself up with, like, the unrealistic expectations that she internalized from her mother.
I was gonna say, like, she grew up and, like, had very bad body image issues and like has had, like, cosmetic surgery as well. Like, it's it would make sense.
Obviously speculation, right? Like, armchairs, like, literally.
No, I literally said I could not diagnose someone. I'm
no.
just saying that she displays that behavior.
What I'm trying to say is not this is how she is. This is, like, my now, like, trying to be empathetic towards her, trying to see in her internal world. That's how she is. What I'm saying is, like, that's an explanation beyond her just being rude and mean, you know?
Yeah.
And so, yeah, basically, NPD, we think maybe some kind of genetic thing, maybe coupled with that sort of neglectful or over sort of bearing parenting. That those kind of parenting styles do, you know, have an increased sort of risk. Kids who are parented that way are more likely to develop NPD or be diagnosed with NPD. And then also just sort of your upbringing beyond just your parents, right? Like, so rejection as a child, hard thing to deal with, right? That could lead to sort of developing NPD, problems with self-esteem and ego and all of these sorts of things could, again, like, lead to one developing NPD. And then, like, like we've spoken about, like, being rejected and, like, all of that sort of stuff. Alternatively, excessive praise. Like, just being told you're the best, you could internalize that.
Mm-hmm.
Feeling like you're the worst, you can internalize that and then try to externalize the opposite so that you can combat the inter... You know what I mean? So what's the cause of it? Genetic, upbringing, who knows? We don't know. It's too complicated to really sort of figure out. And the last thing is treatment. What do you think the sort of treatment options are?
I feel like SSRIs would do something to this.
Really?
Yeah, it just I've always been surprised at the breadth of things that SSRIs actually are sort of prescribed for. Mm. Like that being antidepressants.
Mm.
Nope.
There is no standardized pharmacological or psychological treatment for NPD. But like there, you know, therapy is recommended.
I guess like speaking about it and like I guess maybe if you're unaware that you have NPD, you just feel the way that you feel. Mm-hmm. If you have a professional sit down and speak you through perhaps why you feel the way you feel and why the way that you act, it would make sense. And I guess it wouldn't help to like cure it, but it would help in terms of like
managing
it and like socializing and how like you treat other people. So like having to explain to somebody what empathy is and how you should feel it could help you, I guess, change behaviors to act more in line with what would be pro-social behavior.
Yeah, and I think, like, I would want to view it, I think, as, like, maintaining healthy relationships. Like, I agree 100%, you know what I mean? And, yeah, it's therapy is the main thing, right? And I was reading a few different things. It was really interesting, actually, because there is advice on how to engage with a patient.
I was about to ask about this, because, my God, what a thing to bring up. Like, you've spent your whole life thinking you are the best and you deserve the best, and then a therapist goes, I think you might be a narcissist.
I think you might suck.
Like, it feels like it'd be so hard to get through to that person because they've got layers upon layers of defense and I am the best and all that kind of thing. And then to be told, actually, you're delusional and you are literally like the word narcissist is so weighted. It's like almost as bad as the word psychopath.
Yeah,
it's really like it's a hard word to hear.
Yeah.
So I'd love to hear these guidelines for how to approach it.
Well, it's not guidelines so much as just like advice. Mm. Basically, the main takeaway I got is just be bloody careful when trying to diagnose this because it can be such a sort of not volatile situation, but you know, and not in terms of like, oh, they'll blow up, but more in terms of like, there's this thing called sort of counter transference. So that's when a therapist kind of like, do you know what I mean by that? Counter transference? Have you heard of it before?
Like they diagnose you something you don't have?
Well, it's more, it's kind of more essentially projecting feelings onto someone. And then I think.
So the therapist is the narcissist.
Well, so the therapist projecting feelings onto a patient.
Yeah.
And then the patient kind of like taking that on. So essentially, I might be wrong. If I'm wrong, someone correct me in the comments. I think it's more a case of like, if I were to say, you know, Noah, you feel very sad about this. And Noah's like, oh, maybe I do feel really sad about this. But yeah, basically, I think the idea behind sort of approaching diagnosis with NPD is to be empathetic and cautious and kind because like it is a difficult, it'd be a difficult thing to probably be diagnosed with.
Mm.
It's also like, you know, you're putting yourself as a healthcare professional, you're putting yourself in a difficult position of being like, I'm going to tell you something that you might not want to hear. And also, I'm going to have to be the one to say, hey, here is medical people saying treat people differently. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, don't be yourself. And it is like a threat. Like, it is a sort of almost existential threat to how others perceive you, you know, if you're being told that sort of thing.
Mm.
And so, yeah, it could, like, trigger, like, a lot of stuff in people with NPD. But yeah, that's basically all I've got on NPD.
That was a lot less like scary.
Yeah.
A lot more sad than I thought it was going to be.
Look, people, we're all people, you know, and it's so, so easy to look at people who, you know, have a personality disorder and be like, you're weird and horrible, bad person. You are like diagnostically evil, right? It's very easy to do that.
Yeah.
It's also as callous and horrible and just not correct in any sense, right? yes, people with NPD can abuse others. They can also be abused themselves, right?
And have been.
Yeah, in a lot of cases, exactly. Yeah. And if you think about it, like, what use is it to treat people like monsters rather than say, and like, if you're a victim of someone's abuse, that I'm not saying.
Go yeah, you don't have to put up with
don't
it.
Don't go to your abuser and be like, I respect you as a, yeah. Get out of there. You don't get to see them again. That's fine. But but like, in a more sort of holistic sense, right, I think that we as a society should have a view of like, let's try and help people be the best people that they can be, because most people don't choose to be, you know, even in sort of in the sort of most meta sort of like existential sense, I don't think anyone really chooses to be bad. Do you know what I mean? Like, you are the collection of experiences that you've had throughout your life, and so to some degree free will doesn't exist. To another degree, it does exist, and you can choose to make better choices and choose to do things that will help you be a sort of, you know, better, more amicable, more sort of, you know, pro-social person. Mm. But like, yeah, just writing people off as inherently bad is so, so damaging, regardless of how, you know, potentially abusive or hurtful those people can be. And ultimately, I just think, have some empathy for people with NPD. Just
have some empathy for the empathy impaired.
Well, they need it more than you do.
Share some of it, you know. Yeah, yeah. There should be enough to go around.
Yeah, it's not their fault. It's like, you don't choose to have your empathy feelings. They just come up. It's not you're not a good person for feeling empathy. Okay. You just have empathy.
Literally the last thing I'm going to say, because you just made me think of a thing, right? There is this idea called like moral luck, wherein, like, you know, if you are born to parents who are already, let's say, very progressive and well off and blah, 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 right? You are unlikely to be in a position where you're going to be exposed to people with sort of harmful ideals
and
that lead you down a path of believing X, Y, Z, right? Whereas if you're, say, working class and you're like, you actively have like the right wing party of this country trying to use propaganda to convince you to hate your neighbors because they come from another country, as whilst they fucking steal food from your table and blame it on, you know, the
doctors.
Immigrants. Well, yeah.
Junior doctors,
immigrants, any scapegoat they can, right? Like, yeah, that makes total sense that you would hate those groups. Mm. It makes total sense that you'd hate the people that are stopping people from stopping ambulances from going past, right? Because from your perspective, these are the things that matter, and the other stuff, whatever, right? So moral luck is this concept of essentially, like, you're not virtuous for not having had bad ideals or bad values in your life. That is luck on your part. Almost the same as wealth, right? It's a similar concept. And I think that it can apply here as well, because people will view their own empathy, their own capacity, their innate capacity for empathy as a personal virtue, as an indication of their moral righteousness, how good they are as a person, when really, like, your internal capacity for empathy is something that is kind of out with your control. It's probably dictated through the myriad experiences you've had up until this point in your life, you know, and then also genetic factors and all of these sorts of things. So, like, if you ever find yourself thinking that you're better than other people, one, you may have NPD, but two, if you don't, you're not better than other people. If you have NPD, you're also not better than other people. No one's better than other people is the point, right? And if you think you're better than other people...
I think some people are better than other people.
Look, take a seat, right? Sit down and actually ask yourself, hold on, did I actively do anything to make myself better than other people in this moral way? Because no, you probably didn't. And if you're thinking you're better than other people because of your superior morality, then you're probably not all that superior, because your morals aren't all that great. You're just as sort of susceptible to that sort of negative outlook on the world as anyone else. So yeah, that's NPD. One more thing to do is quick fire quiz.
Dun 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 da! NPD edition.
So the rules for the quick fire quiz are the same as always. I'll ask one question. That's one question to two of you. The first person to buzz in with the correct answer after finish asking the question wins. What do they win, Luke?
Some therapy.
Let him win. Noah, what's your buzzer? Luke, what's your buzzer?
Ooh.
And my question for you is, who was the nymph that Narcissus thought was pretty sexy?
Ooh. Echora. Echoey? Echoa.
Oh, okay, well,
I was going to say echo.
I didn't actually say to go, Luke. Noah, why don't you go?
I was going to say echo.
Oh, you got it right. You got it entirely wrong.
I wouldn't say entirely
wrong.
You said
echoey.
You said echoey and echoa.
I was right. I just added some extra nonsense at the end.
I think you mixed up your buzzer and the answer. You said echo.
Wow. Thank you for joining us, Noah. Noah's got an album out. It's been out for a bit. It's fine, probably. He's just back from a US tour. Go and bother him somewhere on the internet. Well, that is all from us. But before we go, we'd like to thank all of our patrons with an extra special thank you to executive producers Glitch Rabbit and Rev Lunar. And thank you for listening. You can find the full references for this episode down in the description. Subscribe for new episodes every Monday. And why not leave us a nice wee review? You can support the pod at patreon.com/SciGuys. Or you can find and contact us at SciGuysPod on Twitter, Facebook, Instagram, YouTube, and at SciGuys on TikTok too. Or you can send us an email at SciGuysPod@gmail.com.
That's SciGuysPod@gmail.com.
SciGuysPod@gmail.com.
You can follow me at NotCor everywhere.
You can follow me at LukeCupboard everywhere.
You can follow me at NoOffence everywhere, apart from Twitter, where it's NoOffenceAdams, and TikTok, where it's TheNoOffence.
Goodbye.
Step into modern luxury at Langham in Grandview. Your boutique, studio plus suite awaits with a premium kitchen, spa-inspired bathroom, and elevated finishes throughout. Just steps from your door, lounge poolside in a private cabana, unwind in the hydrotherapy spa, perfect your swing with virtual golf simulators, or visit the fitness center for a Peloton ride. Availability at Langham is limited. Reserve your studio plus suite today at livepreferred.com.
Leagues Cup returns to Columbus. Your reigning Leagues Cup champion Columbus Crew are hosting three matches at Lower.com Field. Come out and watch the crew take on teams from Liga MX, Toluca, Puebla, and León starting July 29th. Grab your tickets now at ColumbusCrew.com and watch the best in North America battle to keep the trophy at home in Columbus. No ties, only wins. Major League Soccer versus Liga MX. Leagues Cup returns to Columbus, Ohio. Be there.